Tuesday, the 17th of June. Good morning, kids, and welcome to Kids Corner here at Radio Veritas. Well, this week we're going to be thinking about two things, and three things, really. We've got all sorts of important things that have happened. The one was, of course, what was yesterday? Yesterday was Youth Day, and we remember all the children, the teenagers, the young adults who gave their lives so that we might be free, and especially that we might have a good education system. And as I was saying yesterday, I think more maybe than people anywhere else in the world, we have a responsibility to take our education very, very seriously. Because children died so that you and I might learn in freedom. At the end of this week, we have the World Day for Migrants and Refugees on Friday. And that's also a very important part of what it means to be a human being. This year, do you remember what this year is in the church? It's a Jubilee year, that's right. And what's the title of the Jubilee year? Do you remember? Yes, Pilgrims of Hope. So let's just stay with that word pilgrim for a little moment. What is a pilgrim? Who is a pilgrim? If we go back to the root of the word, it's a Latin word, and a pilgrim is a stranger, a foreigner, someone who doesn't belong to this place. So if we are saying we are pilgrims of hope, we're saying actually we're strangers in the world. We don't belong here. In a very real way, I might say I'm a South African, you might say I'm a South African, or I'm a Zulu, or I'm a Xhosa. But is that who I really am? Or am I first and foremost a Christian? And if I am really a Christian first, then my true home is in heaven with God, and I am a pilgrim here on earth, traveling through this world as a stranger because I am going home to God. That, if you like, in a nutshell, is what a pilgrim is. When we think of a pilgrim one who is traveling through a place, a stranger in a strange place, traveling. And we are pilgrims. The church teaches we are a pilgrim church. We haven't arrived yet. We are always on our journey home to the Father's heart. We hear that imagery of being a pilgrim, traveling back to God. We hear it in two of the church's constitutions, in Gaudium et Spes and in Lumen Gentium. The church is described as a pilgrimage church, a church on a journey back to the heart of God. So it's only like a superficial part of us that says, oh, I'm a South African citizen, or oh, I am a Zimbabwean citizen. On a deeper level, I am a Christian. This is not my home. My home is with God. And we're pilgrims of hope. So it means we carry with us this great hope, the message of salvation, the message that Jesus has come and has redeemed the world and is changing everything. That is our message. Our message for ourselves, our message for the whole world is a message of hope. That we should all be open to the working of the Holy Spirit, to peace, to patience, to kindness, to gentleness, to self-control. That is our message of hope. And what does this have to say about migrants and refugees? Well, under human law, migrants and refugees are also pilgrims. Why? Because they are strangers in a strange land. Legally now. Before we were talking spiritually, but now we're speaking legally. Legally, this is not their home. This is not the land they were born, or maybe they were born here, but it's not where their ancestors are buried. It's probably not even the land they want to be in. But it's a land they are in. And why are they here? Why have they come? Well, no one becomes a migrant or a refugee unless something terrible has happened where they live. They might be migrants from climate change. Maybe there's no more rain. Maybe the sea is destroyed where they are living. Maybe there are water shortages where they're living that have led to war. There might be climate change and water wars. There are water wars happening now, right now on the planet, in North Africa, in the Middle East. One way of understanding the unrest in that region is to understand that there is not enough rain, there's not enough water. There might be refugees fleeing from persecution, fleeing from countries where, for one reason or another, their lives are in danger. No one leaves their home, their family, their friends, and goes somewhere else because it's fun to do that. Not in reality. We leave because we have no choice. We leave because something terrible is happening. And so these migrants, these refugees, come into our country, into many countries in the world. Many, many countries in the world have refugees. Most countries. They come seeking safety, seeking to be cared for. And sometimes we can be frustrated. We can think, why is somebody else asking me for help when I am battling with my own life? But then we need to remember, who were the unnamed people in Egypt who welcomed Jesus, Mary, and Joseph when they were refugees? Egypt is also in Africa. The Holy Family fled to Africa for safety from persecution by Herod. They were refugees here on our continent. And those Egyptians who opened their hearts to the Holy Family, they are the model for us of how we should be in the world, opening our hearts to those who come seeking help. And lastly, we are in this very strange season at the moment where we have some significant feast days, one after another. This last Sunday, we celebrated Trinity Sunday, where we thought a little bit more deeply about the Trinity. And this Sunday, at the end of this week, we will celebrate Corpus Christi, or the Body and Blood of Christ. This is quite an old feast. It dates back to the time when St. Thomas Aquinas was around, and I think that's around the 12th century. And St. Thomas Aquinas asked for this feast, and he actually wrote a poem, and the English translation of that poem you will find in the missals under Year A, and it's called a sequence. It's a special kind of poem. And this poem is a teaching poem. He thought of this day as a teaching day, a teaching Sunday, that we Catholics needed to understand the Eucharist better. He was worried that ordinary Christians didn't understand the Eucharist and Eucharistic theology. And so he asked the Pope for this Sunday to be included in the cycle of Sundays. And it's a teaching Sunday, in which we come to understand the mystery of the Eucharist a little bit more. And so in the next couple of days, we will look at the poem St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in a little bit of depth. Hopefully in your parishes, your parish priest will read some part of the poem, some part of the sequence. It comes in with the readings after the second reading and before the Alleluia. But what we need to know as we go forwards is that on Sunday I want you to pay attention especially to the Eucharistic prayers. That's where the priest blesses the bread and the wine, and they are transformed into the body and blood of Christ. I want you to really listen on this teaching Sunday to what we are being taught about the nature of the Eucharist, of communion. So, Let's close our eyes now and let's pray. Lord, you gave yourself to us in the Eucharist. Help us also be generous to others, especially to strangers in our midst, and to refugees and migrants, people who are different from us, who speak differently and sound differently and eat differently. Help us to be generous as we meet them. And help us to serve you always. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.